welcome to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. You can find us on the web at lifechurchboston.org. God's Word is taking off from where you are right now and rising to build you up on the way to your destiny. Let's climb on board. Well, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Rockland Clark. I'll be your pastor for this morning. Fasten your seatbelts. God has something he wants to do among us. Amen. He's already done some of it. Amen. Wasn't the worship great? Oh. Testing. 1, 2, 3, 4. Microphone check. 1, 2. What is this? Well, you know, if President Obama could sing Al Green, then I figured I could. He did sound good. Hallelujah. I won't do that, though. Thank you. Yeah, and Barry White isn't appropriate for this setting, so. Well, praise the Lord. Welcome to Life Church. We have fun here, as you can see.
Because there's life here.
Amen. Some of you may not be accustomed to a church where people have fun. That may not be the way that you are used to thinking about church, but, you know, hey, it's a new thing. There are actually lots. We're not the only one. There are lots of churches where people have fun every Sunday. We're just one of them. Amen? But it's important for you to understand some things about God, and so we're a little freer here. So I'll tell you a little bit about that, but let's pray first. Father, we are so grateful for the opportunity to be with your people, to be with you. We ask you to help us to absorb what you're going to teach us. Help us to understand it and to put it into practice in our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I should say, by way of we have welcome cards. And if we don't have your name and contact information, if you haven't filled, is anyone who hasn't filled out one of these before? If you haven't, raise your hand. Okay, anyone else? We'd like to keep track of you. Stay in touch. Amen? Okay, so we were talking about having fun in church, and that fits in with the message anyway, because there are a lot of people who have false conceptions about God. Amen? Amen. And perhaps you have been one of them, or maybe you are coming out of one such false conception. But one of the things that is important to understand, we shared, Al mentioned last Sunday, the four life principles. They are, number one, that God exists. Amen? Number two, God loves you, wants to have a relationship with you, wants you to be part of his family. Number three, that relationship or being part of God's family has to be on his terms. Amen? And number four, his terms are follow Jesus. Now, those are biblical, right? But it will help you if you're trying to explain this Jesus stuff that you do, you know, this thing you do on Sundays, it may be helpful to break it down into those four principles. Now, when it comes to following Jesus, it's also important to understand. I shared this last Sunday, and I think I've said it in the past once or twice. But, you know, when it comes to following Jesus, there are people who have no intention of following Jesus. Amen? They will either reject him publicly or they'll just, or passively, but you know, it's, you know from what they say, it's not about following Jesus. Then there are people who say they want to follow Jesus, okay, who, for whom it's just words. You know, they talk about Jesus. And then there are people who actually follow Jesus in a publicly verifiable way. In other words, they follow Jesus in a way that if you actually check up on them, you can see that it's for real with them. Amen? That doesn't mean they don't make mistakes. It doesn't mean they don't blow it, but it means that you can see in their life a commitment to actually following Jesus. Okay? It's important to understand those three distinctions because there are a lot of people that talk about Jesus. You know, some of our forefathers used to have this song, you know, heaven, heaven, everybody talking about heaven ain't going there, heaven. Amen? But just because you talk about Jesus, just because you talk about Christian values, there's a lot of that on TV these days, amen, doesn't mean that you're actually on your way there, okay? And so you need to be very clear because when we're talking, it's easy when we talk about certain biblical concepts or principles, everybody gets some sort of image in their mind in terms of what that means. And oftentimes what people picture is they just picture church that they have known, okay? And then what comes to mind with the church that they've known is all the jacked up stuff that happens in church, okay? From people who clearly aren't actually serious about following Jesus. And then they say, well, and then it just doesn't make sense to them, okay? So it's important for you to understand we're talking about Christians. When the Bible talks about Christians, it's talking about people who are actively trying to follow Jesus. Following Jesus is not that complex, okay? It's just not that complex. It's a matter of actually checking up on what Jesus said and did, and then working together with other believers to do it. Amen? I mean, if you want to do it, God will make a way for you to do it, all right? If you find yourself saying, and I've had conversations with people saying, talking about different kinds of things that believers ought to do or things that God wants to do, and I say, but he goes to church. This frequently happens when you're counseling someone who's entering into a relationship with someone. And you say, is he a Christian? Well, he goes to church. That wasn't what I asked. Okay, is she a Christian? She goes to church. Okay, so you understand that when we're talking about following Jesus, we're talking about a deliberate set of what did Jesus. You should know something about. You should be able to say something about something Jesus said. Or did. Amen? That's because you're, how can I put this? That happens because you're actually interested. You understand? See, if you actually take the time to read the word, you don't have to read a whole lot in one chunk. And you may, in fact, you could decide, I just want to specialize in Matthew this year. You know what I'm saying? Let me just, you know what, I don't know about getting through the whole Bible. Let me just focus on Matthew or Mark. Mark's shorter, okay? I'm just gonna keep reading in Mark and just read through, and I'm going to read it over again and read it over again. You'd get somewhere. You understand? It's not about setting some elaborate academic goal, okay? It's about the interest that causes you to check out, well, if I'm following Jesus, I need to know who I'm following. And that's just a general good idea. You should know who you're following. Amen? Amen. Have you ever followed someone who didn't know where they were going? Woo! I have. Okay? It wasn't a pleasant experience. You could be on the road, you know, following behind someone, and they don't have a clue where they're going. Okay? And but I would rather follow someone who knows where they're going. You understand? Right? So if you're going to follow Jesus, you really ought to just figure, well, I mean, like, maybe Jesus isn't the one. I should actually read what he said and did. I might discover there's something in there that I like. I can't get with that. Okay? But you should check him out, right? You should understand. I mean, don't just come to church. You want to actually understand who it is you're following, right? So his life is recorded, in case you're wondering, and you want to get at, you know, sort of the deeper historical records of Jesus, okay? Let me just help you out. That's the Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the historical information about Jesus. That's it. There are other so-called gospels because they had creative writers back then just like they do today. Okay? You know, creative writer, some, you know, oftentimes, you know, some people are just creative and they decide to make life their canvas. And so they take reality as you and I experience it and decide that's not enough. I need to shape this. Okay, and they produce novels and things like that, which can be entertaining. And back in the day, or they want to argue a point or a position, and so they construct a narrative to justify where they want to go. There's a lot of that happening, you know, during a presidential election season. Okay, people will take, you know, people will make the gospel jump through hoops and turn flips and what have you. I mean, there are people who are claiming to be Christian who are advocating all kinds of ungodly attitudes and ideas and practices and are getting celebrated for it. But hey, you know, Jesus said this would happen. Okay? So what you want to do is get to know who you're following, because you're actually, if you're not interested, then you should be somewhere else. Right? I mean, if you're not actually interested in a relationship with God, you know, church probably isn't the place for you. You see what I'm saying? It's not like it, you know, some people feel like I go to church as good luck, okay? You know, or maybe, you know, whatever hymn they pick from the hymnal, that's the number you're going to play or whatever. But I'm just here to tell you that isn't it. That's not going to work, okay? It's not about good luck. If you're interested in knowing God through Jesus Christ, you know, this is the place to hang out. If that's not what you're interested in, okay, we don't, you know, hang out because we hopefully, you know, you'll change, but you'll just understand that the focus here is about getting to know him better. And, you know, if you think that that's not really where you're going to end up, then, you know, you might be wasting your time. Okay? All right, just so, you know, we understand each other. Okay, so we've been in Romans chapter 12, and we're going to be hearing from another couple of folks, the last two, about how they experienced their gifts. But I just want to briefly go over what we shared in the passage. So Romans chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2. Hopefully everyone has one of the scripture sheets. If not, raise your hand and someone will get one to you. Okay. And while we're at it, just throw your Bibles up in the air and let folks know. Okay, represent. Amen. All right. Good. If you don't have a Bible, if you need, then raise your hand and we will get one of the, anyone not have a Bible? We can get one to you. We have some Bibles to lend out. Okay, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, in view of God's mercy, now part of what's happened already here in worship is that we have been appreciating the amazing God that we serve and what he's done for us. And so we appreciate his mercy, and as an act of loving response, we offer our bodies as living sacrifices. Amen? It's not about just sort of, well, I got to go to church, and you know what you got to do at church, so let me just go, and, you know, hopefully something will happen, and, you know, maybe if I feel it, then I might say something, but otherwise I'm just going to, you know, say, no. This is, you're entering into a love relationship, okay? Now, some people are handicapped by their own experience with parents. There, some of you, you know, it may very well be that some of you have never actually heard your parent, had your parent look you in the face and say, I love you, okay? And if that's the case, then it may be difficult for you to actually grasp God's love for you. I listened to a podcast recently that that Carlton had recommended, and in it, the pastor talked about a lot of people feeling like God's basically mad at them. Okay, so the basic idea is God's mad at me, and nothing I do is ever going to measure up. Okay. And you need to understand that whatever mad, and he made this point, and it was well put, whatever mad God had at you or would have had at you, he poured out on Jesus. Okay? You really need to understand that. You know, if you're walking around with the idea that, how many have felt that God was mad at them at one point or another? Okay? All right? If you have felt that way, God bless you. You need to know that all the mad's used up. It was poured out on Jesus. Okay? So that all God has for you, God ain't got nothing but love for you. Amen? Now, it's real love, which means sometimes, you know, if you love your children, sometimes you have to discipline them. Amen? But that's still love. You know, a parent who spanks a child to prevent them from running out in the middle of the street is showing love. Amen? All right, so God may spank you every now and then, but he loves you. He's got nothing but love for you. And he's inviting you to come and enter into and participate in that love. Okay? So so when you come to a service like this, it's a good idea to just make up your mind to enter into the worship experience. You know, if there are words up there and people are singing them, you sing too. Don't have to wait until you feel it. You don't have to wait until something it makes your liver quiver and your socks roll up and down. Amen. I mean, emotion is great, and God gives us emotional response. But you need to know that you know this is a relationship that engages every aspect: my will, you know, my emotions, my intellect, and so I want to love God with all of that. Amen. And so when I come to a service, I don't just sort of wait, you know, well, wait till it hits me. I'll wait till it hits me. Then when it hits me, praise God. You know, no, I want to actually start, you know what? God's still good no matter how I feel. You understand? God is still good. He's still a wonderful God. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to act like what he is. I'm going to act out what I already know about who he is. So I'm gonna say to, you understand? I'm gonna say to him, God, I appreciate you, I love you, I'm so grateful, thank you. You know, well, that's how I say it. You may say it differently, you may have different words, what have you, but you know, use the words, the experience that you have to tell God how much you appreciate him. You know? If you need to say, God, you the bomb, say God, you the bomb. Okay? You know, try not to use language that'll offend someone, but other than that. Okay? You understand? It has happened. but tell God how you appreciate him. You understand? Because that's just a good practice to be involved in. Okay, so in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. And we discovered that there are some things that there's some implications of offering your bodies as living sacrifices and being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And one, you know, part of what that affects is how we function in church. And so in verses 3 through 8, the Apostle Paul, who's written the letter to the Romans, is explaining how that they need to function in their gifts, the various gifts. And we said last week, it's interesting that he starts off with how you function in church, whereas, you know, I might start off with, you know, sort of other kinds of behaviors and issues. But what that says to me is that our operating as a body is foundational. Okay, and then we looked at Matthew 6, 30, we looked at a larger section of the passage last week, but it boils down to Matthew 6, 31 through 34. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And what we said was that he says, seek first his kingdom. He doesn't say, seek God first. He says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And that means something. Kingdom means more than just God. The kingdom is where God reigns. Okay? And we told you about Eva and I, our brief excursion across the border to Mexico, and then trying to get back in to the country. And so you know what a kingdom is. I knew, you know, as I was walking over the bridge, I understood that the kingdom of the United States, or the United States of America, was over there, and I wasn't in it anymore. It was just 20 yards away. There it was. And then when I wanted to get back in, okay, someone was checking my credentials. Amen? Amen. And so the kingdom of God is where God's laws are in effect, where God's rule is in effect, where God's being obeyed. And so you can't seek first his kingdom and his righteousness without seeking out his actual followers. Do you get that? Okay. From time to time you'll hear people say, I don't need to go to church. I just worship God on my own. I can worship God by myself. I don't need to be, well, you know, technically that's true, but you have to ask the question, does God want you to worship him that way? Exclusively. See, what's the point of worshiping God if you're not going to consider how might God want me to worship him? You know, God actually has said something about this. He wants to be worshipped in spirit and in truth. We find that in John chapter 4. And we're told by his son, seek first his kingdom. The kingdom is where God's people are, obeying him. Okay? So again, when we say that, it's not just church in the sense, the traditional sense. You can find a lot of churches where people aren't actually trying to follow Jesus. Okay? But you need to look for places where people are trying to follow Jesus. You get that? Okay, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness means it's on you. You have to seek it. You understand? It's your responsibility to be looking. God will help you, but you have to want to. You understand? You know, it's hard to help people who don't want to be helped. If you want to find his kingdom and his righteousness, God will help you. You say, God, I have no clue where. When I was a new convert, I wasn't going to go to church because I thought churches were full of hypocrites, but there was a Bible study on campus, and I knew those folks, and I was going to hang out with them. Okay, and then Easter, I said, well, I'll go to church for Easter, and I went to church and found a church home and a spiritual father who nurtured me and basically trained me how to be a pastor. I wasn't expecting that from the get-go, but that's what ended up happening. Okay, God knows how to get you into, you know, to different. Now, meeting with the Bible study was seeking his kingdom. But there was more of his kingdom God wanted me to seek, and I needed someone who could mentor me and train me, right? And so God made the connection. You understand? If you want to seek his kingdom and his righteousness, he will put it together for you. You understand? Amen. All right, so you need to know, and you need to be able to share with other people that you can't just worship. You know, if you say, I just worship God on my own, I don't need to, well, Jesus said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And, you know, the kingdom is where his real followers are. You need to look for some real followers. I'll help you. Amen? Amen. And then we said, what are some of the things that get in the way of the body life and the kingdom life that we talk about. And I shared with you an excerpt. I'm not going to read it again, but an excerpt about from a book called The Relational Way. And it talked about the life of a typical believer. And you see the diagram here on your scripture sheet, and it shows Bob in the center, and then all these different circles or ovals representing different pieces of his life. And what's striking about it is that they're all you know, separated. None of them connects with the other. Bob's the only common link. And so getting engaged in the kingdom means I may have to address this. There may be some things about my lifestyle that I have to address in order to seek first his kingdom. Amen? Amen. All right. So then that brings us to Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Now, I shared with you last week a definition of spiritual gifts. I'll share that definition again, thanks to Al and Valerie. A spiritual gift is a special divine empowerment bestowed on each believer by the Holy Spirit to accomplish a given ministry God's way, according to his grace and discernment, to be used within the context of the body of Christ, okay? So it's something that God empowers us to do so that we can accomplish what he's called us to do his way. Amen? Amen. Amen. And these gifts are referred to by many as motive gifts, and that they tend to characterize the way you function in a group. Now, I know some people are looking for a more detailed definition of the specific gifts, but what I want to encourage you to think about is this. This was written to believers who were meeting in homes. Many of them were slaves. Probably most of them were illiterate. Okay, some of them, a few, might have had some Old Testament scrolls, one or two scrolls from one or two books of the Old Testament, but they didn't have a lot of modern educational resources, okay? The apostle would plant a church, and frequently, in the case of Romans, he probably sent a bunch of leaders ahead of him to regenerate the church in Rome, but oftentimes, in other situations, he would come to a city, preach, win some people. He and his team would form them, get them meeting together as a church, and then he'd leave, and he wouldn't get back for 3 or 4 years. Okay, so when it comes to definitions, you know, we live in a culture, many of us, especially if in academia, that you know you want these precise definitions. You figure if I get a precise definition, then I can function. Okay, but and that's one kind of knowledge and learning, but I want you to begin to appreciate that there are some other kinds of knowledge and learning that the Bible wants you to receive. And this is the kind where you learn by doing.
Yes, sir.
Okay? You learn by doing. Now, if you don't have time to do it, you won't learn it. You understand? And what happens for many of us in our church lives is we're so busy with other stuff that we don't actually get the time to do the fellowshipping that would allow us to actually discover these truths, okay? And in many ways, you know, and different ones of you have said you appreciate sort of the different things we do here at Life Church and how different it is, and some have said it's a breath of fresh air, and, you know, that's great to hear, but one of the things that's important to understand is that in some ways, you know, my job is what I'm doing is trying to clear space for what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Okay, you know, if you go out into a forest or out into the woods, you'll see different kinds of plant life growing. Okay, different kinds of flowers and trees and what have you. Now, if you take that land and clear it and then pave it over, you could make a really great parking lot. Okay? And so, but under that asphalt, you know, there's the ground and all the seeds, whatever. Now, part of what I do is asphalt removal. Okay? And so, what I do is I clear away the asphalt in a specific, and I can't clear all the asphalt away everywhere. I have some territory I've been assigned. And I clear away asphalt, and then I try to protect that space while the seeds that have already, they're already there. You know, there are a bunch of seeds already there, and then there may be some seeds that I plant, but basically God's got a whole ecosystem going, right, that I didn't create.
Go ahead.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
And that ecosystem, you all are a part of it. And I didn't create any of you all. Amen? Because I don't have it twisted. So you know I didn't create you, and I know I didn't create you. So we're on the same page, right? So God has already put gifts inside of you. Now, as long as the asphalt is there, you can't blossom. Do you understand? If I clear away some asphalt and then protect the space so no one pours any more on there, right, then little shoots start to come up. I can't tell what shoot's going to come up when. You know, it surprises me. It's one of the most exciting aspects of being a pastor. You get to watch, wow, look at that. I didn't know she could do that. I didn't know he could do that. I didn't know they had that interest, okay? And what you begin to see is these gifts begin to blossom as you create the space. If you don't create the space, right, then the gifts are only theoretical. And you start looking for academic definitions of the gifts, right? If you create the space, if you clear away the space, then people just start interacting and the gifts get discovered. Do you understand? Don't look for an overly academic definition of these gifts. They are patterns. One of the things that we are is, as human beings, we've been created, we do pattern recognition. We spot patterns. It's one of the things that people do really, really well that's still very hard for computers to do. Okay? And so you can spot a face and you can recognize a face. You realize how much a face changes from infancy to old age, and yet you can still recognize people even after they've aged. There's a pattern there that you're wired to pick up, okay? There are patterns that are in the Word. When Paul says, if a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it according to his faith. You know, if it is serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, you know, those are patterns. And by priming you with those patterns, okay, if you get in the mix and start getting into some deep fellowship with people, I don't mean that where you're bearing your soul to everybody and everyone, but just you're spending committed time on a regular basis, what happens is those gifts start to declare themselves. It becomes apparent what the gift is, and other people will help you understand what the gift is. Amen? So sign on for the discovery. Don't be anxious that I can't do it because I don't know what my gift is yet. No, that's the whole point. You get involved in fellowshipping and your gifts become clear. Amen? Amen. All right, so let's see. Was there anything else I needed to tell you all about that? So you're going to want to make your gifts available to the church, okay? And your gifts are needed. Sometimes we get into consumer mode and we look at an organization or a ministry and say, oh, they don't have this, they don't have that, they don't have the other thing. And sometimes the reason they don't is because your gift is missing or it wasn't applied the right way. Amen? As we make our gifts available to one another, Jesus is better able to express himself through us. In the world tries to save its life. Remember Jesus said, whoever tries to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for me will save it. Okay? We need to have that attitude about our gifts. You're trying to save your life for yourself, trying to save your own conception of what your career is, your destiny, etc. You know, it's going to end up being useless. But if you give it away, church is a place where we give ourselves away. The body of Christ is a place where we give ourselves away and are constantly replenished. You understand? Outwardly, we're wasting away. Inwardly, we're being renewed day by day. Okay? Give yourself away. Come saying, come to wherever the saints are, you know, and you know, we don't come to church. The church gathers to meet, okay? Because church is not a building. Right? It's a gathering of believers. The church comes together. We come together on Sunday. But come saying, what can I give? What do I have to offer my brothers and sisters? Yes. Amen? Yes. Amen. All right, so I'm going to ask Bill and Paulia Mooney McCoy to come up and share how they began to develop their gifts. And I was going to have Paulia share one other thing, but I'm not going to do that today. So I know she's happy. So just come up and share how you guys began to understand your gifts. And then we're going to let you guys sort of get into little groups and talk about your own experience of your spiritual gifts. Amen? Amen.
Good morning. I'm going to make this very brief.
Good morning. Good morning.
I'll make this really quick. Because I just say amen to everything that that Rockland said, particularly about it being a journey. And in terms of finding your gifts or knowing your gifts, I have to say that this has been sort of a ongoing journey and an ongoing really struggle for me personally. But one thing that I will say about it is the first thing that I did around this was to really pray and just to ask the Lord. So I think that gifts do have to somewhat have to do with things that really you enjoy and that are sort of part of you. But I just didn't really know what to do or where to go. And I did know that I wanted to serve in the body. So sometimes the way you find more information about your gifts and what God's called you to do is by stepping out and doing things and then seeing the things that you're not good at. And so when I sort of first started serving in the church, I did almost everything and anything. And I mean, I just held every type of, you know, I clean, mop floors at one time. I was a secretary. So that's one story right here. I was a secretary for the church for a brief period of time. Not my gift. Not my gift. I know some people who are so incredibly administratively gifted like that. I mean, I think leadership is one of my gifts, but administrative stuff, that is just not my gift. And I discovered that very quickly as secretary. And so did the pastor. That's why it was a very brief period of time that I was secretary. Not good. I also did the nursery. So I had all, you know, little babies all kind of running around, little toddlers and that whole thing. And now I will say, my daughter over here, she is gifted with small children. It's a gift. I see that so clearly. Me, not my gift. Not my gift. They were driving me crazy. I wanted to just tear my hair out. It was just really not good. But I served there for a while. And I discovered a lot about myself. So I think one of the things that I learned about that is that you step out, you make yourself available, and it's important not to be afraid to fail or to be embarrassed. And that's something that there's a friend of ours who's a gifted songwriter and worship leader. And one of the things he says over and over again, he says, you know, you have to put yourself out there and not be afraid to be embarrassed. Because sometimes you'll do something and you know what? It just won't be that great. In fact, it might be pretty bad. But that is a way of God kind of showing you what your sort of space is, and that's what God was showing me where my gifts were not. But just to close, there was a time in a church that Bill and I were a part of for over 20 years, and they had sort of traditional hymns and that kind of thing, and that was really wonderful. Bill was playing the piano, and it was beautiful. And there was a gentleman there who was leading songs, and I watched him, and I was so blessed by what he was doing because it just really helped me to worship by having him in the front and just leading in worship in that way. And then he stepped down; he stopped doing that, and I thought, well, you know, maybe I could try that because it's something that I had done with teenagers for many years. And I thought, well, maybe I could do this in the larger congregation. And so I did. And it was something that I really enjoyed. So that's just to say that, again, it's a matter of stepping out. For me, anyway, it was like that. Trying something and not being afraid to be embarrassed. Like, put your pride aside. And the Lord will reveal to you where he's gifted you.
Amen. Well, it's appropriate for me to go last because I have the gift of procrastination. It's not mentioned in the Bible because Paul just never got around to putting it in there. Is that proof texting or what? there may be gifts that aren't mentioned in the three passages. Paulia mentioned my daughter's gift with small children. It's anointed. Yeah. It's downright divine. I've seen her do some stuff with little kids that is just not supposed to be possible. And kid whisperer. Trying to discern, how God has wired you may not fit into one of those nice, neat categories in those three passages. It may be a combination of that. So don't sweat trying to find out which one is my gift. It's not quite like the Myers-Briggs where you have to fit in one of those things. For me, it's also been a process of discovery. I think the place that I felt compelled to share about here is the gift of pastoring. And the word pastor, really, we messed that up. We messed that up. Pastor sounds like main person in charge of a church. That's not what it means. In fact, the only place I think it's mentioned in a gift context is Ephesians, if I'm not mistaken. And that's a list of translocal ministries, which are ministries to the larger body of Christ at large, not specifically to one particular meeting on a Sunday morning. So pastor is mentioned there, which tells me that there's something different going on here. So for me, it was very hard for me to accept because I, first of all, struggled with a call to become a pastor. Paulie and I did pastor a church for 10 years, and that was a real stretch for me. But I came to realize that pastoring is not my job description any more than someone who has a gift of teaching may not show up in a classroom every day looking for apples from kids. Pastoring is who I am and how God has wired me. And so to understand that God has wired me to care about people who need caring and to be able to sense that and to want to help them get connected to God the way they need to. It doesn't mean that I'm the one who figures an order of service and has a lot of concordances in my back room and, is able to make very funny announcements and stuff like that. That's not the gift of pastoring. Sometimes they coincide. Some churches are run by people who have the gift of evangelism or prophecy or different things. Anyways, so untangling that was really important. So one thing I really suggest is you actually look at the Word of God when it says certain things about gifts and see what it's really saying, not what we've decided it means, because we do get it twisted a lot of times. And so for me, that word pastor was like scary. But the reality is that I am pastor for several people who don't go to this church. That's just the role I play in their life. And I didn't walk up to them and say, I'm going to pastor you. They came to me and said, will you pastor me? And God basically revealed that I could be of use in this role. And so as I continued to step out, I found gifts working in that area. The other thing about gifts, some things are talents that you're good at. In some cases, I'm good at some things because I've worked at it. I'm pretty good at this, but I've spent hours shedding. I've studied, I've worked, I've learned, I've practiced, and I've prayed. And so it's more of a talent than it is a gift. When it comes to really discerning what God wants to say for somebody, that's a gift. And so that comes, so for me, the pastoring comes connected with the word of wisdom. And the word of wisdom kind of for me is knowing how to apply a situation. Knowledge is kind of having facts and information, and that's that's kind of a cool thing too. But for me, it's more like, now that I know that, what do I do? That's wisdom. And so I will find myself talking to somebody or a couple or a group, knowing that I am totally out of my league, that, you know, I haven't had years of education as a psychiatric nurse or a biblical counselor, knowing that I do not have in me the ability to solve this problem or to figure out what needs to be said. I ain't got it. And say, God, if you don't download it really soon, we're going to be in trouble. And experiencing God giving me that peace of wisdom that I can share with whoever I'm talking to, and bam, there it is. And that person may think that I'm smart. I'm walking away saying, thanks, Lord, you did it again. And for me, if God doesn't show up in that situation, there's no plan B. So that's why I know it's a gift. I don't own it. I don't have the ability to let it fire up when I want to. And so when I'm talking with you and there's something that you really are listening to God for and I'm depending on him to give it, he's the one who does it. I've been able to figure out a way to be able to be a receptacle by which that happens. So again, I just encourage you to look at the Word of God, see what it says about the various gifts, and then, like Paulius said, you don't do this by studying it. You do this by trying. Amen.
Amen. All right, now it's your turn. So group yourselves and take the next 5-10 minutes to talk about your gifts and what you think your gifts might be, what you've wondered about your gift, and see if other people have some insights as to what your gift might be. Introduce yourself first. And so talk amongst yourselves. As you do so, here are the questions that are worth discussing. What are your spiritual gifts? They're on your sheet here. How should you be using them at Life Church? In what ways does your lifestyle need to change so that your gifts become available to your brothers and sisters? Have fun. All right, let me get your attention. Okay, we're gonna do 5-minute warning. If you have if you're still having difficulty figuring out, or if you still feel some confusion about your own gift, think about giving somebody else feedback about how they've blessed you, so they can help. If you help them figure out what their gift is, given, it'll be given to you. Amen. So if you may be feeling like, I still don't know, I don't. Well, share if you can think of someone else that in your group that you kind of have a sense of how they've been a blessing to you and what that might say about their gifts. Give them some feedback that'll help them. Amen. And don't be afraid to ask for feedback. Okay, about 4 more minutes now. Okay, let's wrap this part up. Huh? Okay, well, see, hopefully, if we leave you hungry for more, this is going to give you an incentive, because we're going to be reviving our life groups, all right, which is a great place to have conversations like this. Amen? See, there's more to church than Sunday meeting. Amen? All right, and so people need space to share and to experience the body throughout the week, and so we are a church that believes in having small groups, and so we're going to be relaunching our small groups over the coming weeks. So stay tuned. Okay, You may want to think about, some of you may want to think about your willingness to open your homes and to meetings, okay? Some of you may want to think about your willingness to facilitate a meeting. Some of you may want to think about other ways in which you can be supportive of that effort. But if you, how many got something out of this discussion? Amen. Okay. Imagine what Jesus could do if you were coming together on a regular basis with a group the size of what you just met in. Amen? Amen. For those of you who didn't walk away with it, it wasn't necessarily my expectation that suddenly today you'd know, this is my spiritual gift. But hopefully you understand the role that fellowship and sharing can play in helping to understand your gift. And especially if you think of it not just in terms of, well, I'm just here to figure out what my gift is, but if you flip it and say, well, maybe I'm not sure about what my gift is, but what can I do to help someone else understand their gift? And a lot of that is giving them good feedback. If you've experienced someone in, you know, you've interacted with them, you've met with them on a regular basis, and you, there's a kind of a way that you can see how they function and how they bless others, let them know. Don't keep it a secret. Let them know. You're sharing that may be the thing that releases the revelation about what your gifts are. Amen? Amen. All right, so let's. Don't stop the conversation. If it was getting good, get someone's phone, get someone's number, get together with them on, outside of this meeting, and to keep the conversation going. Amen. 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 Well, I'm going to close out in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Bill to come and lead the offering. Lord, we just thank you for this time that we've had to share, and we ask you to help us to keep this going. Continue to build, Lord, on what we've established here so that we will understand our gifts and know how to function in the body. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
You've been listening to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. We hope you've enjoyed your flight. As we prepare to land, please leave the belt of truth buckled around your waist and keep your life in an upright position. If you would like to support this program, or if you simply want more information about Life Church, please visit our website at lifechurchboston.org. As you go on with your day, please remember, Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations. Please put what you've just heard into practice in your own life, then teach it to others and watch God's kingdom take off around you.